Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here I am, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble.
That's uncanny.
Bit of Sean Connery from Indiana Jones there for you. I'm with Jim.
Hello.
And I'm with Luke.
All right.
Pete's still not here because he's been naughty and we've banned him for another show.
Yeah, he's on the Geordie step.
Damn, we'll probably let him back next week.
Probably, but not definitely. Right, let's start with an opening question. Gigi Becali. Remember him?
Yeah,
certainly do.
How could we forget the maniac?
He recently enjoyed his team beating Chelsea 1-0 in the Europa League and commented that Chelsea are too slow to beat his side. So, who's your favourite slow player of all time, Luke?
Oh, I think I'd have to go for Teddy Sheringham.
Good one.
Terry Sheddingham.
Stedward Tedward.
Yeah, because he was a lovely player, a lovely little boy. Beautiful boy. Obviously turned out of a Portsmouth, did very well for us. Enjoyed watching him play. I like the fact that because he was slow, he didn't let it impair his football career. He just became cuter. And I particularly like the time that you met him, Marcus.
Yes.
Where he told a very good story, which I'm sure you're going to furnish us with now.
I completely forgot that, actually.
Yeah.
I was working for a large television company and...
Is this in your Babe Station days?
No, not those days. I never worked for Babe Station.
It was like a budget online version of Babe Station, wasn't it?
But you'd set up from your bedroom.
I never reached the top.
Wasn't his bedroom.
I.e. Babe Station. No. No, nonsense, of course. I was working for... Teddy Sheringham was on one of the shows, and I went to get... He was running very, very late, and I went to get him at the gatehouse. I turned up. He'd gone to another gatehouse, and the man...
Disaster.
Said, exactly. It struck, Jim. So I quickly ran back in to the building... To grab Teddy wherever he was, and he was stood in the foyer having a little drink of water from the dispenser.
Calm as you like.
Yeah, and I sort of burst in and he said, in a rush? And I went, oh, sorry, Teddy, we're on air in 5 minutes. And he went, well, it's all about timing, isn't it?
Like James Bond.
Yeah, so for living up to a stereotype that everyone thought of him and for being an exceptionally good slow player, yeah. I go for Teddy Sheringham.
Just for me, that was as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, anyway. We're not going to mention his Champions League winning.
No,
well, not,
point.
Not a winning goal, was it? No point.
We've profiled him once.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to do it again.
FA Cup goal.
Jim, Marcus has got a point. If there's one game that's definitely been undercovered in the media, it's the May night win against Bayern Munich in the Champions League in 1999.
That magical night. Where was it?
I think it might have been Barcelona.
Well, good start. Ready, steady, Teddy. Jim, who have you got in?
Now, I know you disagree with me on this, Marcus, but I'm gonna mention it anyway, and you can stuff your points.
Okay.
That's the spirit.
Well, yeah. So give me the points.
Well, then I win.
Oh,
I'm going to go for the Brazil and Bill and Ted star Socrates, or Socrates,
because right.
You dispute that he's a slow player, but I just, from what I've seen of Socrates, he's a very slow player, just sort of lounging around
from
the pitch.
From what you've seen World Cup 82, Brazil versus Italy. Brazil were a goal down. Who burst through that Italian defence and slotted home? It was Socrates.
Yeah, but it's not exactly a sort of Georgie Kinkladze style, sort of like, you know, roadrunner leg style. Like
he
sprint, is
he
it?
He burst through.
No, he was a lazy player. Come on,
he burst.
I mean, I think for some reason I've been seen as the ruling party here.
Yeah,
I think
it's dangerous. I feel.
Jim, well, no, I ultimately am. Jim, but yes,
if
you say.
If Jim, if you agree that he actually burst, then I don't think a slow player can burst.
No, I disagree on that. I think, you know, you can be a slow player overall, but still be you know, capable of running fast at some point in your life.
Has John Terry burst before?
I imagine so.
Yeah. Ask any of his teammates' wives.
Oh, no. It's not what I meant to happen.
I was hoping for something
John.
A little bit more implicit there. But never mind. We've hit him over the head with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Dad of the year.
Even though he was a smoker, I'm still not having him as a slow player.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
So, well, you know, bear in mind as well, you know, he had an appointment with his doctor once who said, Socrates, if you don't quit smoking, then you're going to have to quit football. And he just immediately quit football.
You've got to admire that sort of commitment. Who's yours?
Berbatov-esque.
Berbatov's
a good one. Yeah.
Very good one. I was going to go for Carlos Felder. I still am going to go for Carlos Felder, aren't
I? I thought of him. Al Piba. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I can't think of an occasion where he burst.
Jan Malby's another one. Fat and slow.
Well, yeah, that's probably the reason. I think Luke's got the points.
Thank you very much.
Teddy Sheringham has got the points.
I abstain from being able to receive the points and protest this week.
You've,
don't know why I so regularly protest this.
Yeah,
very simple concept.
I'm going to take back some of your points.
Oh, when you stop to think of it, Pete and I have given up on this like 3 years ago. Yeah. You're still kicking against the bricks, though. You're still swimming against the tide.
Absolutely. You've got to take your victories where you can in life.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Right, the FA Cup happened on the weekend. Oh yeah, the magic, all that crap. Manchester United drew 2-2 with Chelsea. The big story was perhaps that Ferguson ignored a pre-match handshake from Rafa Benitez, reportedly.
Is that confirmed? Or that's just what Benitez said, isn't it? He said that he waited for him and he didn't turn up or something. Or he didn't do it.
He might have gone to the wrong gate. Yeah. Like I did.
Yeah, like Steady Teddy did.
Exactly.
That time.
Yeah, but it was at Old Trafford. I think Ferguson knows where the gate is by now. He's been there 26 years. Yeah, maybe that's true.
But maybe Benitez didn't.
Yeah, who knows.
But it was 2-2. I'd like to talk about Michael Carrick's pass for the first goal. Mm. Glorious raker.
His use of the ball is very rarely less than excellent, let's be honest.
Mm. Yeah. He's quite slow.
He is very slow. Yeah, good point. Yeah, good
rangy
point.
Though, so he doesn't really need his pace. Like Socrates.
Yeah.
He's not like
if only. Yeah. Stop smoking, Michael. What could happen?
But it was a good game. I mean, when
start.
Oh yeah, maybe.
When Man United went a couple of goals up, you really couldn't see Chelsea get any way back into it.
Yeah.
And then I think Benitez deserves, you know, a reasonable amount of credit for changing it around, because that's one of the big criticisms Chelsea fans have had of him. And when I was out of town and I watched a game elsewhere, and I flicked on the Twitter a bit later than I usually would, and I thought I'd see some people saying, oh, well done Benitez for changing up. And all I saw were Chelsea fans going, well, he should have played them from the start, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
He really can't win.
When they were 2-0 down, they were very quickly singing, we want our Chelsea back, which is laughable. Like, really? How far back are you going? Because you could end up in quite a bit of debt.
Yeah.
Ken Bates leaps to mind.
The other thing is that, like, it's a game against Manchester United at Old Trafford, who are in really, really good form. I mean, I know they got knocked out of the Champions League, but domestically they're in brilliant form. So
just out of the Champions League.
Quite. And the situation is that, you know, if you get something slightly wrong at Old Trafford, it can go wrong pretty quickly.
So
for the fact that he didn't panic and he changed it around, and even if he admitted initially that he got his team selection wrong, which I didn't see him do, but I mean, he may privately think that, he still needs to have some sort of credit for salvaging a draw. And actually, they were unlucky not to win the game.
How often do any team peg back Man United? Mm. By the end of it, it looked like Chelsea were the only team in it. You know,
De Gea
was
superb.
I think De Gea could have done better on the second goal. On the Ramirez goal, personally, but you know, he did very well with his feet as well.
I mean, I thought Juan Mata would have normally put that away, and I want my Juan Mata back. But it is true, Benitez, like, you've really got to feel so sorry for him. Like, he's even said, I'm going in the summer, you know, it's interim, it says there right on the screen.
But
he's getting some all right results.
He can't win there, though, can he? Yeah, even if he wins, they hate him. It's the sooner it's over for all of them, the better. There's like, you know, 10 games left.
It's ridiculous.
Don't worry about it. You got to feel for him. As we said last week, he knew what he was getting into, but Jesus Christ.
Just on a human level.
Imagine what his day-to-day life is like at the moment. The poor sod.
Just on a human level, you got to feel sorry for him.
He's trying to help. It's not like he's going in there trying to get him to lose games. He's trying to help.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it.
What did you think about Rio Ferdinand on Torres? That was a bit strange.
A bit nasty. And he got away with nothing.
He sort of helped him up initially, like straight away. And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah, hang on a minute.
Now, Fernando can be a bit funny like that.
Mm. I think he should get punished for
that. It's the ghost of Fernando Torres, isn't it? So it's,
yeah,
you know,
true. Maybe he thought he could run straight through it.
Exactly, yeah.
He's not being punished for it.
No. Which I don't agree with, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, right on the Achilles. It looked like it could be quite painful.
Mm, well, who would know?
But the thing is, Fernando Torres has got such a pained expression at all times.
Exactly.
He looks like he is in pain.
Like a sad ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
But Manchester United and Chelsea will battle it out at the Bridge for a spot in the semi-final.
Although no one knows when, because the fixture list.
No, that's a huge problem for Chelsea in particular.
Been about July, I think.
Yeah. But it'll be the warm up to the final.
Yeah, what I know what
it'll be like, instead of having like a band on this year.
Well, both know.
Love a game.
Both Man United and Chelsea get to play in the final against whoever the other finalist is.
Yeah.
And then they have the quarterfinal in a few months' time.
Yep.
And then the winner of that actually gets the cup.
Is that right?
Who does the best result in the one before?
Speaking of ridiculous fixtures, my trusty housemate Jamie was telling me that
ridictures.
Yeah,
that works.
I haven't done a portmanteau in a while.
It's been a while since you've done one of those.
Welcome back. I think it's Guernsey or Jersey. I'm pretty sure it's Guernsey. They play obviously a few levels below League One, and they have an outrageous fixtures list to get through by the end of the season.
I've seen that. Yeah,
it's enormous. Yeah. And even they played in the cup the other week and drew. They even got to have another replay.
I've got a couple of non-league points to make while we're on the subject. If you fancy it.
Okay.
The first one is spare a thought for fans of Evo Stick Southern League Division 1 team Woodford United.
Oh, I always do.
Who presumably play at Woodford and Essex. I mean, I presume that.
Mm.
Played 30, won none.
Gordon Bennett.
Conceded 116. Drawn none. Zero points.
This reminds me.
It's March!
It's about time they got something on the board.
Yeah.
That reminded me of when. Of at the end of the Crystal Maze, if a team was particularly rubbish, and Richard O'Brien's going, "You have collected 113 silver, but only 10 gold."
Yeah.
And it's like, "You're off.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah,
you don't belong at this level of TV quiz."
The ones that got locked in, they're staying.
My second non-league point is that
We'll be back to the FA Cup in a minute. Listeners, don't worry.
Trust me, I love this. My home team, Gosport Borough.
Oh, yeah, bless them.
Who are in the Southern Premier Division.
We all know that.
Yeah, all right. They are now undefeated.
In three.
Since the 3rd of November 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Eh? Check this out, right? Portsmouth, as you all know, won the FA Cup in 2008. Next season, Gosport Borough will be two divisions below Portsmouth, I think, if they get promoted, which they look like they might do. They've got amazing momentum. They're definitely going to get into the playoffs, and they're probably going to go up to the Conference South.
My goodness. Hey? More on Portsmouth later, though.
Yes.
More of that. Oh.
Stay tuned, Bury fans.
Right.
The Pompey Steamrollers
that's
coming
enough,
up.
That's enough.
Let me have it.
You can have it later.
You've had enough.
Okay, sorry.
You've had three starters, and we haven't even got near to the main. back to the FA
that
Cup.
That takes me back.
to yesterday. Manchester City 5, Barnsley 0. Yeah, they gave him a good gubbing, didn't they?
Yeah, Carlos Tevez didn't seem to be bothered by his driving nonsense.
Yeah, incidentally, gubbing is a Scottish word, if people pick me up for that. Drubbing is, I think, the English equivalent.
Reminds me of Tony Gubber, who sadly passed away.
Oh,
yeah,
that was a shame.
Yeah. Thoughts to his friends and family.
Indeed, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One of the surprise results of the Cup was Everton 0, Wigan 3. All the goals come in a very short period.
Yeah.
4 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah, they just fell apart in like 3.5 minutes.
Can we all agree that it was a lovely Phil Neville back pass to hang your hat on?
Really, so McManaman still had to sort of make a quite delish finish.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was ludicrous.
Yeah, there was quite a few ludicrous
imagine even as an adult facing David Moyes having done that.
I can't.
Did Moyes have his tracksuit on?
I didn't see.
Don't know actually.
Can't confirm.
No.
Shame.
I think we can safely say he did.
Not. Yeah, he must have
by the result.
Yeah. But they will play Wigan, Millwall or Blackburn in the next round.
One of those teams definitely in the final. It's brilliant.
Because Manchester City will play Chelsea or Manchester United.
Good.
How's about that? It could be the repeat of the final we all remember. Millwall versus Manchester United.
2005, yeah.
Absolutely. Was it 2004?
2005?
Oh, I thought it was 2004.
Oh, possibly, yeah, you're probably right.
But anyway, it was of yesteryear. Mm. But not quite a classic though.
Wouldn't be in the future because we wouldn't be able to talk about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the only football match I've ever put a bet on.
Oh really?
Did you win?
No, I went into the bookies.
It was Man United against Millwall when you lost the bet.
Listening.
This is why you shouldn't bet.
I went into the bookmakers, right? And I thought to myself, I'll have a pound, but I need high odds. So Dennis,
that's not how betting works. You do realise the higher the odds, the less likely it is to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, but if you put a pound on, you're not going to. It doesn't matter. It's only a pound.
Yeah.
You find that next day. Dennis Wise to score first and Millwall to win 2-1. Now, my rationale was...
ridiculous.
No, my rationale
that you're
was
mentally ill.
That Manchester United will just press them. Yeah. But a little ball over the top, someone's away, last man, John O'Shea, whoever it was, chop them down, penalty or free kick.
I love
sending
that
off.
Even now you're talking about this like it could happen.
Sending off. Wise took the free kicks in the pens.
Yeah.
1-0. United are going to score. And then Millwall will take advantage of that extra
What were
round.
The odds?
It was 250 to 1.
I think we should do a new feature where every week we give markers a pound and get him to put a bet on and explain the
I'll
logic.
Just spend it on sweeties. Yeah.
which
I do now. Enough of the cup. Let's go to the league, the Premier League.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we massively analysed those FA Cup games.
Absolutely.
Pretty comprehensively, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like I didn't even watch the Blackburn Millwall highlights.
There weren't any highlights, mate.
I know someone bled.
Jim, it was 0-0, therefore it couldn't have been a good game.
Yeah.
That's how football works. Premier League. Queen's Park Rangers have won again. They beat Sunderland 3-1.
Winning their winnable games.
A couple of great goals from Townsend and Genius.
Oh, Townsend was magnificent.
Wasn't
he
it?
Was excellent. He ran the show. He's really good.
Blimey. Is he going to do it?
Well, I hate to say I told you so. And obviously, it's not happened yet. But I genuinely thought Keeper had a reasonable chance of staying up as soon as they got Harry Redknapp on board.
Did you verbalise that, though?
I did. I think I said it on this show.
I think everyone thought that.
Well, they go away to Aston Villa next weekend. They've got a chance of winning that as well.
Mm. Yeah. But I mean,
see, I remember saying that they'd still go down. So I'm going to stick to that.
Yeah.
So up yours, Marcus.
Uh huh.
Well, again.
I thought you so. QPR with Bobby Zamora in the attack.
Yeah,
look a bit more likely. Redknapp likes him, even though
he really does, doesn't he?
He's got an injury.
I mean, he's very publicly talking him up, isn't he? Which is obviously, you know, his way of trying to instill confidence in him and get him back to the player he was at Fulham. Because let's not forget, we were, you know, calling heavily for him to be involved in the England squad.
I can't believe you guys were saying that.
Well, indeed. But when he sort of hit his peak at Fulham, he was playing very, very well. So if Redknapp can get him back near that, at least, you know, they've got a great player on their hands and the sort of experienced player that they need to just dig them out of this.
I'll never forget Marcus's emotional Bobby was a more of an inverted winger style England shout.
Inverted winger.
That's what you were saying.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Provider.
Yeah.
You know, if you interpret that as inverted winger, then be my guest.
It was a good win for QPR. You know,
it's a fantastic win.
And Sunderland, I'll tell you what,
and they went a goal down as well.
Absolutely. And Sunderland have lost four and won none of their last six league games.
Yeah. I mean, Sunderland. It must be so dispiriting being a Sunderland fan at the moment. I mean, they are a team that have sort of, you know, been in the Championship probably more often than they should be given their status. So I suppose, you know, maybe this season they're probably just, you know, hoping that they can just use it as a platform for next season. But it's over, isn't it? There's nothing for them to play for.
They got Norwich at home at the weekend. They lose out, they're in real trouble. Yeah. They could go down. They're not that far off the relegation zone.
One thing that Redknapp will have done is come in, and he's very quickly, and he's pretty good at this, weeding out who's up for it and who isn't. And anyone who's got
who is and who isn't, eh?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's what he probably said.
Who wants it more?
That's it.
Yeah.
Seconds. And for those who are showing any kind of enthusiasm to the staying up effort, Redknapp will see that and water it, won't he? He really try and get that out of them.
Absolutely.
And if they don't show anything, he'd be like, right, you're gone. Whereas someone like Mark Hughes
is rubbish.
It's not very likable.
We'll be angry with them and just shout at them. I would imagine.
That's really right.
I've heard reports and people have said to me that the players thought that Mark Hughes would be really good with them and really inspiring with them one on one. Because of the character he seems to be and because of the things he's achieved in the game.
Perhaps he has been before, maybe.
But apparently
he seems to have all these rules about handshakes. You could never quite get it right, and it just pisses him off every time.
Sometimes training wouldn't start because they couldn't get everyone to do the handshakes on their own. If one person gets a run, they've got to start again.
Yeah,
it's murder. But just going back to Sunderland slightly, just quickly.
Yeah.
You know how important it is around this time of the year for momentum. So we just said, you know, and you see it with Reading in promotion last year, and teams can get dragged into that relegation zone if they're playing poorly and not picking up points. And Sunderland are in terrible form. And if they lose to Norwich at home, that'll be 3 points off relegation probably, depending on how it goes. At this stage of the season, they can't pick up any wins.
Well, that's right.
They're in real trouble. They really are.
Well, Aston Villa are trying to turn a corner. They got a good win away at Reading 2-1, of course.
I'll tell you what they did. They got Brian McDermott sacked. That's what they did.
Yeah, I don't
it's
like
a real
that.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. Do you think Reading have got that one right? I mean, they're obviously doing that thing, Jim, that you often say that teams do, try and get someone else in for a little bit of
momentum, as Luke says, at an absolutely key time of the season. Well, there's talk of Di Matteo and also more. Kind of, I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's almost certainly brilliant. Paolo Di Canio.
All the D's are involved.
Get them both in. You can have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Di Canio, you get match days. Just to rile them up a bit. What could go wrong there?
Everything.
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. And it could be beautiful.
I'll have a pound.
To be fair, though, Jim, I mean, I know what you're saying, because Brian McDermott and Paolo Di Canio are quite similar characters, aren't they? So it's got to be business as usual, isn't it?
How to throw a dressing room, literally.
But McDermott, it is unfair because you can't help but think. And I know the owner has really wants to stamp his own sort of mark on the club, but
he did say it was a tough decision.
It seems to me that if he hadn't gotten promoted, he'd still been a job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an odd one to
think. On the other hand, I sometimes think that I sort of thought about this earlier, that if he maybe they wanted to sack him anyway, but he got unpromoted and they couldn't go, all right, you're sacked then.
They were like, no.
Yeah. But the fact
also,
of the matter is,
I mean, the last time he would have been on the verge of getting sacked, he then started pulling out all these amazing comebacks. Yeah. So maybe this has been a long time coming. And it's a shame because they had been in really good form and it's just dropped off.
But the fact of the matter is, he got them promoted quite gloriously. And they are still in the fight for to stay up.
They are, but they're not. I don't think they're good.
Look at the resources they have. Look at the size of the club. Yeah. All that
they only spent 7 million on transfers.
That's
across
insane.
Two windows. They were on that run, as Jim said, where they won like 4 and 6 games, and they've just lost 4 in the bounce, and they're in real trouble. They're down, I think, anyway. I can't really see them having the quality to pull it out.
More
really.
Glenville. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if starting they okay, more. So they go down. Well, if McDermott's there, he knows how to get them out of that league.
I think the players were still playing for McDermott. I really do.
But
yeah.
He knows how to get. Okay, you go down. But he knows how to get out of the Championship.
Yeah, but
and then you build again, and you get a bit of money, you get the parachute payments, and you strengthen the squad. Is it just right to just get rid of him?
It's easy to say that, but I can't think of too many examples where a team have gone down, stuck with a manager, and he's got them promoted straight away again. I mean, it's a nice idea,
yeah,
but I don't know
if it
necessarily works, though. But the morale would go down so much, and you know how you know unpredictable the Championship is. You're going to lose so many of your best players in a way that you wouldn't have done if you just missed out on promotion. You know, it's a different sort of, it's a different situation from when you last got promoted. I think you're a bit weaker.
Okay. Well, let's hope DeCanio goes in then.
Yeah, and let's hope McDermott gets
something job.
Good, a good job.
The Chelsea job in the summer.
Yeah.
Newcastle United beat Stoke City 2-1. Lovely free kick from Kabaye.
Of course. Delicious. Is there any other kind?
Absolutely delicious. Walters hit a penalty. Now, again, I said this about Frank Lampard. Walters always puts his penalties to the goalkeeper's right or down the middle. The goalkeeper dives to his left. He's never going to put it there. Okay, no. Walters, he does vary. He's sometimes low, sometimes high. But it's never to the
keeper. Who, Walters?
Yeah.
He sometimes smashes them wild over the bar as
well. Quite frequently.
Maybe the keeper was diving out of the way.
He was delighted to score.
I don't know if score. I bother him.
Why am I still even taking these? It's just embarrassing now.
But he did score. And then Cissé scored a great
Cissé's
winner.
Cissé's goal was the sort of footballing equivalent of just someone shrugging and going, and what?
Yes,
just
it was.
Amazing.
It
proper
was.
Like it's socks rolled down in the playground.
In the 94th minute, amazing. Whatever it was. Great win for the Geordies. They need points.
They do need points as well. It was a big win for them.
Sometimes when we get tweets through to the Ramwood account, you pick up a sort of groundswell of opinion between fans of certain clubs. And recently I've been picking up quite a lot of groundswell about Stoke.
Pulis has been criticised quite a lot recently.
Yeah, 1-1 in 10 or something. And just people are saying, we need to evolve, we need to move on, we can't keep on this way.
They been found out, do you think, in terms of their style?
Well, they're still mid-table, aren't they? I mean, they're one of those teams.
Well, yeah, they've spent a lot of money, though.
Exactly, that's the thing, Jim. It gets to the point where they're mid-table, and do you accept mid-table, or do you try and kick on, or what do you do? I mean, because ultimately it turns into this sort of existential crisis where you're like, well, we're doing mid-table Premier League team for the rest of our lives, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And they're either going to gamble and it's going to work, but it'll need to change a philosophy, which may need to change a manager, or they're going to really fuck it up and go down.
I mean, when has that gamble ever really worked?
Well, I suppose it depends on. I mean, there's plenty of. I mean, I don't know about these days, but over the course of history, there's been plenty of teams you haven't really done an awful
lot. But the league's different these days.
Of course
it
is,
back then.
They need a huge investment now.
That's the trouble.
That's the thing. I mean, Stoke fans will probably correct me on this, but they seem to have money available to them. They've spent a fair bit. I mean, surely they can start adding a few more creative players here and there, build on what they have, which is an incredibly strong, robust spine, and just, you know, gradually evolve rather than just try and make this huge change in style straight away. Surely they're capable of that.
From what I remember, though, of Pulis, because he used to manage the club I support, from what I remember then and from seeing him at Stoke, I don't know if he's capable. I think he's done a good job, and, you know, he deserves credit for where he's put them. But I don't think he's capable of being expressive, or I just don't think that's his style at all.
Well, they're going to cancel Michael Owen's contract come summer.
Wow.
Which is a testament to
it's
that.
A backwards move. Because I think he'll
surely retire. If he doesn't retire now, then
Owen or Pulis.
Owen.
Owen play a manager role.
Owen's got another 5 years if he goes to the SBL.
Yeah. Living the dream.
Hey, the Danny, what's his name? The Rod Wallace.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say. Liverpool beat Spurs 3-2. Great win for them. Great win. Suarez with a lovely goal. Slip.
Sickening.
And Coutinho was superb again.
He's really surprised me, actually, because I thought Coutinho was going to be one of those players who a bit fancy, winger, come over, flattered to deceive, really, have a nice little step over and a back heel and not really do too much, but he's
fancy,
well.
Fancy damn foreigner, is he? Well, coming over here with his style, don't want to get stuck in, don't like it when it's cold.
I'm Team Stoke.
Don't know what Bovril is.
Well, I thought he was going to be one of those players, Jim.
I thought it would take him a while to settle. But
clearly he likes Bovril, and clearly he started well.
Spurs is a sickening result for Spurs.
Like a duck to football.
Spurs were actually the better team, I thought.
Yeah, well, they two errors.
Stupid errors. Uncharacteristic as well. I know Walker's not been that great this season, but that was mental.
Isn't it frustrating when England, you know, people are worried about Glenn Johnson sometimes playing right back for England. And suddenly there's a lot of hope with Kyle Walker and he's injured, he can't make the tournament. You think, oh, brilliant, well, he'll kick on. And then you see these errors and you think, oh, we're going to have to stick with the guy who we thought wasn't too good.
I think we thought that with Johnson when we thought he'd replace Neville as he was getting old.
Yeah, and he did drop off a bit, Johnson, but now he's sort of come back and he's done. I mean, the thing with Walker is, I mean, it just sounds a bit like a cliche, but I think it's true, is that he's just too much too young. He just believes his own hype now. Yeah. He's not doing anywhere near what he was doing. And that Defoe thing was strange. Like, he sort of chested it and then just lofted it into the penalty area, to his own penalty area. It's an amazing ball through for the penalty. So apart from that, I thought Spurs were sort of good value, actually.
Vertonghen's second goal was unbelievable. Proper, like, not just any striker's finish, like a sort of like 30 a season man's like finish. Brilliant.
He's got some technique on him, Vertonghen.
He really does.
Yeah.
He
really does. But I mean, credit to Liverpool. I mean, they've been in reasonable form, and that's a good win for them. Because Spurs were, I mean, it's the first time Spurs have lost in the league since about November time, isn't it?
It's such a shame for Spurs, because after the win against Arsenal and some good form recently, they really thought that they could catch Chelsea. And of course, they still can. But losing away to Liverpool is a bit of a sickener.
Oh, absolutely. Especially having been 2-1 up and then being the architect of your own downfall.
Yeah. But I think in a way, that won't harm the momentum, because they can at least put it down to individual errors and they can hopefully kick on.
Well, I mean, this is the problem Spurs have had in a lot of recent seasons, that they've, you know, they've been their own worst enemies. They've crumbled under pressure, and this is VS Boris's chance to just stamp it out now. You know, just make this the example of what you don't do from now on. Sort of, if anything, it might even motivate them more. Because, you know, this has happened because they've been coasting a bit, because the form's been good. So maybe they need a bit of a scare.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a winnable game at the weekend. They're at home to Fulham on the Sunday, I think, so they can win that.
Talking of Fulham, it's been reported by a couple of papers that they're interested in bringing Danny Murphy back to the club.
Yeah. Have you been putting that rumour about?
I think you have.
Since I said I like him, he's not played. Yep. He's been stripped of the captaincy. That's right. And now he's being linked to another club as a coach.
It's a league above.
Yeah, I suppose
some people are on your side.
Yeah. Could I tempt him to move to the South Coast, you think?
Let's go there. Get
your sources involved.
Yeah. It's League One. It's Portsmouth, it's Bury. It's a 2-0 win for Pompey.
It's the Pompey Invincibles.
Magic, you know, two games in a row.
Yeah. The fact that there's a very, very good chance that by the time the show comes out, Pompey would have lost to Leyton Orient because they're playing tonight.
Not the perfect hat-trick, we'd all hope.
No, well, fingers crossed, mate. You never know. But it's the we had our first home win since the 20th of October. So we'll take a bit of that, because believe it or not, the winner gets crew was away from home, which is mad.
Yeah. Did you see the mascots this week?
I didn't see them.
It was just loads of mums.
Oh, I did
see
Mother's
Day. It's just really strange. Loads of just ladies with mum number one on the back of their shirts. Yeah. I don't know if it was the players' mums or just some mums from Portsmouth.
Probably trialists, mate, to be honest.
Doncaster Rovers, though, they won away at Bournemouth.
Yeah, Pompey got them
on
the weekend.
South Coast. First place, Donny.
Wow, you know, they beat Bournemouth, and as you say, and Bournemouth are in real trouble. They've lost five in a row.
They have.
Eddie Howe's men no longer falling for his charm. Big David James has gone as well.
He has. He's left. What? He's looking for a club.
I don't think he's been playing much.
Looking for a club. Player manager, Reading?
42 he is.
He's prime for it.
Yeah.
It's a silly suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be honest. Talking of which, let's go to the SPL. The big derby of the weekend was, of course, Hibs versus Hearts.
No talking points. 0-0. Move on.
That was it. It was a 0-0. It was
standard regulation 0-0.
Fair
neither
result.
Team scored, so neither one got a goal.
A very fair result.
You didn't think that was over the line, did you?
Which one?
The Hibs free kick.
The Hibs free kick?
Yeah.
Remind me. Oh, Griffith's free kick towards the end.
Yeah.
Where there was a dispute whether it went over the line or not.
Yeah.
Whole ball. Did the whole ball go over the line? Jim?
You know what happened, Marcus.
Let's have a Gorgie boy.
It was the greatest robbery in the history of an Edinburgh derby. And the magnificent Gorgie boys got away with the point. Thoroughly undeserved.
You can imagine them after the game. Just get in the van and get out of here. In case they change their mind. Get in the bus, quick.
Yeah. If he sees a replay of that, that'll still count if we're still in the ground.
Yeah. So that's at Marcus Speller.
Yeah. Speaking of at Marcus Speller, I have had a few tweets recently from people There was a few, I think, Welsh guys who went up to see the rugby, and they were they went through Gorgi, which is where Hearts are based, and they're like, oh no, we didn't realise why you call them the Gorgi boys.
Yeah.
So if I've not been clear on that, do your own research.
I've actually I've had some abuse on Twitter for slagging off Hibs once, where someone thought I was you. So
biggest compliment you'll ever get, yeah. Mate.
And for those who've not seen the free kick, do watch it.
Yeah, it's absolutely
basically
scandalous.
Like Lampard's against Germany in 2010, but a lot worse.
It's worse than Pedro Mendes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Old Trafford.
Yeah, but when Lampard did it, obviously he started complaining and stuff. But the Hibs Lee Griffiths free kick was so far over the line, he just. It's like he didn't even know what was going on. He was trying to work out what the goal hadn't been given. He was happening here?
Yeah. He had the look on his face of a man who had assumed he was in a dream. You know?
Yeah, crossed with a sort of young boy, because he looks quite young, who'd lost his mum in the supermarket. He's just looking around. Mm. Yeah.
But it didn't stand, and Hearts kept the clean sheet, deservedly. Ross County beat Celtic 3-2.
Celtic were 2-0 up
boys
as
were
well.
2-0 up, yeah. And when I call them the boys, that's because it's Celtic's nickname, spelled with an H. Ross County fought back and got an injury time winner. Lennon was furious after this, and I thought, all right, they've cut your lead to 15 points.
Yeah, but they, you know, 2-0 down. They're 2-0 up.
They got through in the Champions League knockout phase.
He cannot go in that dressing room and go, oh, well, never mind, boys. You did all right in the Champions League. Fuck it.
At least we've got a couple of goals so the fans could have celebrated them.
He wasn't as angry as Terry Butcher. Terry Butcher. For those of you out there who don't take football seriously and didn't see Dundee 1, Inverness, Caledonia, Thistle 1.
God, right? Stop listening now.
Stop assuming.
They went a goal down. I mean, they managed to salvage a draw, scored in like the last 5 minutes or something.
Yep.
And at one point, I think it's when Dundee scored, because Dundee are dreadful, Terry Butcher smashed the away dugout up. Actually smashed it up.
I love him.
Yeah.
Did he bleed at any point?
Yeah, he's always bleeding.
He should be the next England manager.
Yeah.
Oh, Butcher. Right, let's go to the Scotland of the South. It's the league.
Before you move overseas, something that sort of caught my eye, which reminded me of you, Jim, is that Arsenal...
Terry Butcher battering the dust.
Ellen DeGeneres.
It's Bayern Munich, Arsenal tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And Vermaelen came out in the press conference today and was asked about the comebacks and stuff like that. And he said something that really made me laugh. He said,
it's possible.
Last year against Milan, we almost went through when everyone thought it was impossible. So that's the only thing you could think of. Another example where you didn't qualify. Yeah. Amazing to me, that.
Yeah. That's like saying, we'll win the first half. Win the second half.
I really want to ask the question to go, right, but you didn't go through, though. Yeah. And him just to go,
We could still go out on away goals, man.
And Wenger also did another great one, which was we've earned the right to think we've got a chance.
It's crumbling, isn't it? It's crumbling around them all.
Fiddling while Rome burns.
Look at this, Pompey get a couple of wins.
Yeah.
Starts having digs at everyone else.
Yeah. The league. Right, let's go there. Atletico Madrid lost at home to Real Sociedad. It's their first home defeat of the season, and Real Madrid won again. It's all going wrong.
Last team to get points at the Calderon were Real Sociedad last season as well, I think.
How's about that, Jim?
They're in some season. I didn't realise this, but they're in fifth at the moment, Real Sociedad. And Malaga have been banned from the Champions League next season.
They have.
So fifth place will get them into the Champions League.
That's right.
Mm.
Amazing. And Thibaut Courtois, the on-loan Chelsea goalkeeper, broke the record for it without conceding a goal at home, didn't he? 819 minutes.
Blimey.
He's arguably, possibly not even arguably, in better form than Peter Cech.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course he is.
He's the best loanee in Europe, I'd say. Mm. On the basis of that.
And right. Real Sociedad, speaking of comebacks, didn't Real Sociedad beat Barcelona 3-2 after being 2 down as well? They're in some season.
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, they've beaten Barcelona as well. Come on, the Sociedad.
Royal Society.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shove it.
I'm not going to end that sentence. Now, Celta Vigo lost 2-1 to Real Madrid. It's the same for Atleti, but they've still got that cup final. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you tune into that. It's not happening for a bit though. Ronaldo got a double, of course, and they're in the next round of the Champions League too.
Yeah, it's suddenly all looking up for Madrid, isn't it? Now that everyone's just given up on the idea of winning the league.
Everyone turned their back.
Going quite well for them.
Did you see Sir Alex Ferguson made a fat jibe at Brazilian Ronaldo?
He did. Yeah, Ronaldo didn't like it, did he? Well, understandably, really. Yeah.
I think that was poor. I'd like to criticise Ferguson actually for that.
Go on then.
I think it's out of order. I think I respect what he's achieved in the game. You know, he's got my utmost respect as a football man, but that's poor. Ronaldo's the greatest striker I've ever seen, and he deserves more respect than that.
Yeah, the red nose.
Anyone's going to laugh about him being fat is us.
Yeah. You mean the fat Ronaldo,
yeah? The fat one, yeah.
Ronaldo.
I'm not talking about the athletic one.
Ronaldo replied in the media by saying, quite eloquently, might add, I have nothing to add on my old physical appearance. I love that. The old physical.
Mm. Well, he is going to add something, presumably because he's going to say something else.
He said, I regret how disrespectful he was when he referred to me. It was not something that befits a sir. Oh. And then he said, I'm proud of what I achieved in football. I was the best in the world.
Yeah,
he
Bills.
He never said that.
Why doesn't he ever say anything when we call him fat? That's what I don't like about
him. I think it doesn't reach him. Yeah. It doesn't reach him. Elsewhere in La Liga, Barcelona won. Of course they did. In Serie A, Milan won. The Rossoneri are 2 points off second place.
Undefeated since the 22nd of December.
They're listening to our criticism.
Well, back then,
we were
back
caning
in,
them.
In like September and October, we were lamenting like the passing of a giant.
Yeah.
We're like, this is disgraceful. What's Allegri going to do, you know?
A couple of signings, and they're there.
Well, it was before that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
got
true.
The momentum.
That's very true, because Napoli lost away to Chievo.
They've bottled it. They haven't won in their last five games.
Yeah. Well, they drew it with Juventus.
They drew like four in a row.
Who got a very last minute goal at home and went crazy. Crazy, yeah. I tell you.
Cavani hasn't scored for ages.
He hasn't.
No.
Oh, let's lament the death of a giant.
Also in Italy, Di Natale is considering retirement at the end of the season.
No! Tony Christmas can't retire. Christmas is for life.
He's 35 years old.
Yeah,
that's
not our problem.
Is it?
Yeah, exactly. Move to Milan, you'll be fine. Yeah.
Quickest.
You have another 5 years.
Quickest 35-year-old.
Does he burst?
Oh, mate, he's got all sorts of pace.
Sores.
Yeah.
15 goals already this season. But I like what he said. He said, in the future, I would like to become a coach. Not in Serie A, but working with children.
Mm. What, is he being like a school bus?
Probably.
Yeah, just going to ferry them around. I am so fast.
I want to become a coach.
Yeah.
You mean drive coach.
Good-o.
He's a top man, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
of course
I'd
he is.
Say so, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get off his back then.
Haven't you got an update about...
kids going to school?
At the top of,
no, I haven't.
At the top of last week's show, we talked about the Ecuadorian president.
Well, you want to go to South America?
Yeah.
Well,
damn right.
Come on in, chaps. Come on in, because I'm already here.
Where are we going this time? Ecuador.
Well, we're going to go to Ecuador. This is the story of the weekend. We talked about Jaime Estrada. Who was the president of FC Manta. He left his post to become a striker for the team at the age of 28.
And we mocked him.
Mm.
A few people mocked him.
Yeah.
He made his debut for the club last week, coming on for the final 5 minutes in the match against El Nacional. Now, Manta were 3-0 up, but any goal's a goal. And he got the fourth with a lovely calm finish.
2 minutes after coming
sounds
on.
Sounds like a tap-in, though, doesn't it?
I mean, that instant.
Yeah.
Instant impact.
Not if laughing that, now, are they?
If that doesn't get him a starting berth next, I don't know what will.
Well, he owns the club, so.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
I'm surprised that he didn't give himself a starting berth.
Yeah.
He's modest.
Doesn't fancy it.
I don't think he is modest.
Yeah.
He came across very well in the interview.
Both deluded and lazy.
What I love is he completely took the headlines, of course. Everyone was celebrating with him. I'd imagine they would be, because if you didn't, then you might be on your way. And there he was giving an interview afterwards, looking all very... he looked knackered as well, like he's probably huffing and puffing.
He had even over a few minutes.
I know,
yeah.
But great. But he did look like a player, though. I remember thinking, oh, is this going to be some posh boy running around?
Well, so you reckon he was like a decent player?
He looked all right.
I reckon every South American man could make a decent pass of looking like a footballer.
Do you think? What about El Diego now?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. Speaking of which... now this wasn't in Diego Corner. This has been thrown branded around elsewhere. So this is why I
banded around.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, they've stamped it. El Diego.
Right.
And he's been linked to the managerial post at French champions Montpellier.
Again, is this by himself? Is he his own PR man?
Well, there is some kind of truth in it. I mean, his representative said there's a 75% chance that Maradona will become Montpellier coach.
Who's pulled that? Like, where have you got that statistic from?
I don't think there will be a problem.
I've read that's not even his agent. I've read that he's got loads of different representatives he said, and he just said it.
He said, we will hold talks and there will perhaps be a meeting between Maradona and the Montpellier president. Perhaps. Diego is a warrior and wants to coach again. I love the reaction from Eric Domenico, former Marseille and France defender. He responded to these reports because I think he's a bit of a blogger and journalist in France. He said, this is the worst thing that could happen. He has no achievements. I feel that he is capable of derailing a club which has worked well for years within 6 months.
Well, he's got a point. I mean, yeah, Montpellier won the league league and everything. They've built their team properly, despite Nicolan being there.
Well, talking to Nicolan, he commented on the story as well. He's ruled out Maradona taking charge of his club. He said, "No, Maradona will not come here. There are too many agents involved in this affair for my liking. It's all a bit of a mess and I've had enough of it. The entire story is giving me a headache."
Well, the worrying thing, the worrying thing for Montpellier fans is that sounds like they have had some sort of discussion and there is some truth in it.
Blimey, egad. The worst thing that could
happen. The thing is, realistically, if you're a football club and Diego Maradona comes to town, you're going to have to speak to him. You can't not speak to him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And as a human, you're going to think, I definitely want to hear what he's got to say.
Imagine if Diego came around here now, and we obviously want to meet him because we're football fans, and people saw it, they go, "Oh, Diego for the ramble." It's not true, everyone. We're just meeting
him. So stop spreading it around.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
If you are listening now, Diego, get in touch.
Yep. Elsewhere in South America, although that was more of a French story, but Diego was the link. Clarence Seedorf won his first trophy for Botafogo. Yeah. It was only the first stage of the Rio State Championship, but try telling that to the pitch-invading club officials and president at the final whistle. Seedorf scored 13 goals in 34 matches while playing in Brazil. 36.
What an athlete.
What does he always say? Winning makes me hungry. So
happy.
Happy, that's it.
No, I don't know. It could
be it was, I think it's something to do with being hungry for more things to win.
Well,
so there you go. Insatiable,
he's got to feed that six-pack, hasn't he?
He has. Big time.
Right, let's have some correspondence, damn you.
Right, the question of the week was kindly donated and suggested and all those other things by Stephen Kendall.
Nice one, Kendi.
So take a bow, Kendo. He says, "Sacked manager Brian McDermott looks like a thumb."
Fair.
"What other footballers could be mistaken for a part of the body? Do one of you boys want to sort of chip in?"
I think Wayne Rooney looks like a knee.
Yeah,
like
okay.
A
couple of knees.
But with ears.
Yeah. Dave Nutt popped up with Hans Sagers.
That's not what this is.
Jim, let him have.
We're just getting warmed up.
All right.
Andrew Dowse, Harry Redknapp, ball sack.
It's juvenile, but it's true.
Yeah. Chris Marshall says, if you draw a face and hair around your Adam's apple with a biro, it looks like Frank Ribery.
Good one.
Connor Barber with a very, very creative one. Tao Ben-Haim was like an appendix. It used to be useful long ago. However, he's now a ticking time bomb waiting to explode.
Like it.
I actually looked at this and I can confirm it. At Worsty said, if you look at the photo Wikipedia used for Daniel Agger, there's definitely a resemblance to a naughty baby's bum.
Okay.
Weird.
Brad Brooks says, Paddy Kenny looks like a kneecap, similar to the Wayne Rooney one. Jim Hutchins says Ian Dowie is Frankenstein's monster. He looks like he's made up of lots of different body parts, none of them his.
He also looks like Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, he does. Sam Connick says Steve Bruce looks like a fat back.
That's magnificent.
That really is.
Nick Drew says Alex McLeish looks like a sunburnt testicle.
Yeah. Ask what call him that.
Yeah. Oh, do they, yeah?
How do you get... Well, don't
ask. And to finish, Dave Gibson completely misses the point, but helpfully points out that Alex Ferguson looks like a bottle of Bell's whiskey.
I can't like that. I'd like to chip in that Ryan Shawcross looks like a nose.
Yeah, yep. Okay, yeah. Well, I should make a special mention for Ben Fuller, who went to the trouble of doing a lot of puns, which was Jimmy Armfield, Colton Palmer, Danny Higginbottom, Jermaine Dutto, Jake Livermore, and Brian Penis. Always nice to get a mention of Brian Penis.
Arms in the air, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Penis.
Seriously, if you are on the tube or in public, put your arms in the air now. Do it now.
We'll know if you don't.
Yeah, do it now. Take a photo of yourself doing it.
Yeah.
Take a photo of yourself with your arms in the air. Get someone else to take the photo and make sure you're mouthing Brian Penis.
That girl that you're looking at, who's sat opposite you as well, look her right in the eye.
And show her your Brian Penis. I saw a little comment about the ramble the other day saying, I don't like the ramble anymore, it's too juvenile. Bollocks. Bollocks,
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah. Profile time.
Yes.
Yeah, switch on.
Get your heads on, eh?
Hey, come on. Come on. Jimbo, you're up for this, yes?
A bit.
Pride and ball, Jimbo.
It's one of Arsenal's most loved players in the history of the club. It's Charlie George.
Charlie George.
Good old Charlie George, as the song went. Born on the 10th of October 1950.
17 years before the summer of love.
Oh, yes. A strong, powerful forward he was. and a man who liked to entertain the fans.
Strong, powerful sideburns.
Yeah.
Almost sideboards.
Mm.
Born and raised in North London, quite famously. He was only 5 years old when he went to his first Arsenal match. And he was
Arsenal.
Yeah, I suddenly got a bit excited.
You were going to say he was only five when he won the double with Arsenal.
Yeah. But no, instead he played for their sheep side, apparently, when he was five.
Only five when he played for Arsenal. And he said that he first came with his brother-in-law, and he said the crowd used to sway all over the place when a goal was scored. So I would end up about 20 yards in front of him. So would you get passed over the heads of the people down to the front or back where you were and just carry on watching the game? I quite like that. Little lad going all over the shop. Oh, yeah, get him back.
Crowd surfing, effectively.
I've seen that happen at Fratton Park when there was terracing, people passing kids down and stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's quite a common thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He would go on and watch Arsenal for another 12 years or so before swapping the terrace for the pitch. He signed for the club as an apprentice.
He got permission to do that.
Oh yeah, he signed.
Yeah.
Someone's got to offer that contract.
Yeah.
He can't just write it up himself. Mid-60s that was. Turned professional a year and a half later. I quite like what he said about this. He said, I'd gone from standing there shouting at the players to actually playing with those guys.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable.
Well, Charlie George always said he felt like a bit of a representative of the stands because his mates were in the crowd, you know, that he'd grown up, you know, going to Arsenal with, like, when he was, like, his whole time there, which is fantastic.
He was quite unruly.
Yes.
I hated authority.
Which would be prevalent throughout his career. Once skipped a reserve match, quite famously, to go to Bristol to watch the first team play in the FA Cup.
In a way, you can't turn him off for that.
I know.
Yeah. He knew what was to come. Yeah. There's no point in playing with this lot. Not long after breaking into the first team, he was a part of the side that won the FAIRS Cup, which went on to be the UEFA Cup, now the Europa League. And it was the club's first trophy in 17 years.
There you go, see?
They're on the way to another stint. Like that currently. In the semi-final of that tournament, Arsenal came up against Johan Cruyff's Ajax. Now this was, you know, 1970, around then. They won 3-0 with George getting two. The second, a penalty right at the end of the match. Now it's a two-legged affair. The first leg was at home. So you need that third.
Fresh.
Exactly. Stick the 19-year-old Charlie George on it. And he slots it.
The exuberance of youth.
Indeed, indeed. His confident and at times arrogant playing style certainly brought back a bit of pride and excitement to Arsenal, which they'd been missing for a few years. He unfortunately broke his ankle at the start of the 70-71 season, which kept him out until January.
He was quite an injury-prone player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was. His position up front had been filled by Ray Kennedy, so George came back to play a more attacking midfield role. He scored 15 goals that season. Mm. Not too bad, considering he missed half of it. And won an historic league and cup double.
He loved just scoring from just outside the area. Just absolutely belting it. I'm sure there's a famous goal where he did that, and I'm sure we're going to come to it as well.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was like his trademark goal. It was brilliant.
Well, he had a hell of a thump on him.
I've seen him interview where he said, 20, 25 yards out, I always fancy my chances. Yeah. Always fancy.
And the rest of the team fancied his chances as well. And it was that FA Cup final, which would be his finest moment, coming against Shankly's Liverpool. The game finished 0-0. Well, it didn't finish 0-0. The 90 minutes finished 0-0 and went to extra time. Liverpool went 1-0 up. 9 minutes later, Eddie Kelly equalised. And with 8 minutes to go, Charlie George won the cup for Arsenal with a rasping drive to beat Ray Clemens.
It's almost as if Arsenal players now don't shoot from outside the area as a mark of respect to Charlie George.
Yeah. Well, Arsenal, I think Arsenal won the league at White Lane that season as well.
I think so.
It was a memorable season.
Mm. He did that celebration, of course, where he lay down on his back with his arms in the air, which is now one of the most iconic moments of the Cup's history.
He's probably knackered.
He
did that against Everton once as well, I think, famously. And he doesn't seem to understand why people don't talk about that. Because the other one was in the FA Cup final, Charlie. Yeah. It's very simple.
Well, yeah, exactly. And he was a controversial figure, as we said before. And fortunately, that goal lives more prominently in the memory than some of the other things he did. As George said himself, fans will ask me about the flicking of the V sign to supporters or telling some linesman to stick his flag up his arse, but most of the time though, it's that cup final goal against Liverpool.
Yeah, that was when he was at Derby. It was against
Derby fans,
and then he signed for them.
Well, he had a few bust ups with the manager,
I know that. I know what you're going to say. Can it please be me who says it?
Go on.
Headbutt of Kevin Keegan. The hallmark of a Dean Winner sort of entrance.
This is the only reason he's in there, isn't it? You just work back from Keegan's Wikipedia page.
I just Google Keegan.
It wasn't in the lay-by.
We don't know that it wasn't Charlie George who did it that time.
That's true, yeah.
No one knows who it was.
Yeah.
Keegan knows.
I come on, Rev, I ain't done anything. I've been punched twice. Oh, Pete's not here to rein us in.
Well, it would normally be me. No, like, not... can't beat them, join them, ladies and gentlemen. Oh dear, teach him to lose the last England game at Wembley, the old Wembley.
Or fall asleep in a lay-by. Yeah.
What's the guy trying to wake him up?
In a way.
Or get in a fight with Billy Bremner.
Or fall off a bike on Superstars. It's happened again.
Kegels. Why is Kevin Keegan so funny?
Right, come on. Charlie George was in here. Why did I include that?
I had it written down and away about it. It was always going to be brought up.
I've been looking forward to it all day.
Oh, dear.
Well, I've been keeping pretty quiet up till now. So.
Oh, right. Oh, dear. Right, where the bloody hell was I? Yes, he did that to Keegan. Yeah, he flicked a V sign at Derby supporters. He later went on to play for Derby and play up front in his only cap for England with Keegan. But
stick one on him again.
More on that in a second. But he was often in trouble with the referee. Although he remembers things slightly different. He said, I think we were allowed to talk to referees more when I played. You could say to Clive Thomas, F off, Clive, and he would reply, no, you F off. That was all part of the game. It was just good banter. Well, not really. I think the referee would sooner not be told. he said, you know, he always got on very well with Arsenal supporters because he was one of their own, as we said. I did quite like this. He said, I like to drink and a bet, and they could find me down the local or down the bookies. I'd often see them in the pub after the game. There was no chance of me getting an ego because the supporters would keep me in check. If I'd had a bad game, they'd tell me, and I'd say, fair point, now get the beers in. could never have played in the modern era. he eventually moved to Derby County in 19... Stop it! he eventually moved to Derby County in 1975, where he won his only international cap for England against the Republic of Ireland, and he was playing in a three-pronged attack with Stuart Pearson and Kevin Keegan. There it is.
Off he goes.
Yeah. However, Don Revie, the manager, wanted him to work up and down the channels a bit more.
Doggies.
George disagreed with this at half time, quite frankly, and then he was taken off after about an hour. And when Revie went to shake his hand as he came off the pitch, Charlie George told him to go himself. He didn't get another call up.
No.
Oh, shame, really. But quite possibly his best individual performance of his career was at Derby when they played Real Madrid in the European Cup second round.
I've watched this on YouTube. It's mental.
He scored a
Derby County just schooling Real Madrid.
Everyone's in white.
Yeah. He scored a hat-trick and they won 4-1. But they buggered it up in Madrid and lost 6-5 in aggregate. Shame.
But they absolutely tore him apart. It's well worth watching if you're that way inclined.
Well, I just remember I've seen the highlights quite a few times of his performance against Liverpool in the cup final, and he misplaced a few passes and all that, but he was always on the ball. Knocked a ball around nicely, and it looked like to me, I didn't see him enough up front to see how good he was, but his goal scoring record wasn't amazing, but he looked a lot more effective, a bit deeper. Nice passing range on him, could hit one as well, as we've said.
As the cliche goes, he's even said of himself he wasn't a great goal scorer, but he was a scorer of great goals.
That's right.
And that very much applied to him.
Indeed. He had a good time in his 3 years at Derby and left in 1978 to go to NASL, signing for the Minnesota Kicks.
Oh, the Minnesota Kicks!
Scored 9 in 18.
That's the official 1 and 2 needed for the Demon.
That's how he's got in.
That's
that and the Keegan thing.
He punched Keegan 1 and 2 times.
He got meat in him, which he did. And we're off again. Oh dear. If there are any Charlie George fans, we do apologise. Oh. Let us get over the finish line. he returned to England to play for Sorry. He returned to England to play for Southampton. It didn't do too much there, comparatively speaking. I did have a loan spell at Nottingham Forest where he scored in the Super Cup triumph against Barcelona.
lovely
little wow to finish.
Didn't he also play in Hong Kong and Canada?
He played in Hong Kong in Bournemouth.
No, not Canada, Australia.
Did he play in Australia? He certainly went up to Dundee United, but didn't actually play a game. That was kind of where he finished. But how funny is that, though? Right at the end of his career, went on loan to Forest for some odd reason.
Yeah.
And scored in the 2-1 aggregate win against Barcelona.
Weird.
To win the,
you know, those things do happen, though. It's like when Robbie Fowler went back to Liverpool briefly. You know, you do get these odd little anomalies like that.
Oh, true, but Forest were European champions.
I know, but, you know, it's an extreme example.
Well,
but still.
That's very true. But to finish, I mean, a local lad who wowed the crowds at his local side and will live long in the hearts and minds of any Arsenal, Derby County or Minnesota Kicks fan.
And Kevin Keegan.
Yeah. Yeah. The imprint will live long in the head.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Jordan coming to Zero in this all of place.
Welcome, Charlie.
Well, that is the end of the show, kids. I hope you liked it. The email address, if you want to get in touch, is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, a bit of a Gareth Bale loving at the moment. If you're a Spurs fan and you've just got through that Arsenal profile, congratulations to you. There's plenty of stuff on the Football Ramble about Spurs and Gareth Bale. Yeah, lots of other bits and pieces, the usual stuff. So yeah, get involved.
Get involved. Right, say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, Kevin Keegan.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.